Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A better today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
What up? Welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you are welcome to participate with this show. No matter where in the world you're listening, no matter how you're listening, you are welcome to participate. This is your show. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Just tell us who you are, where you're from, and feel free to ask a question of myself or my guest. Joining us shortly, Amy Lee Mercury. She is the best-selling author of Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, and we're excited to have this conversation with her. But first, of course, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing and never, ever forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and participate. Don't just tell me about your God with your words. Show me about your God with your actions. Get out there and participate. If you want something different, be, do, experience, live that difference. It starts with us. We are the point of origin for every change we want to see. We are the point of origin for every standard we want to set. Get out there and participate. This is one of the most spiritual things you can do, is embrace your human experience and get out there. And don't ever forget that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. And thank you for all of you who are out there and speaking with your actions. I love it and I appreciate it more than I could ever, ever tell you. I want to get to the show. I'm excited to have a conversation. Amy Lee Mercury is an expert spiritual dating and relationship coach. She's been doing this for a while and has incredible references. She's got a great book, a book that's called The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating. I had the honor of meeting her at an event that I spoke at, and I'm excited and honored to have her on the show. Her website is spiritualgirlsguide.com. Amy Lee Mercury, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here.
So you write a book like this. You write a book, Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating. This is an experience book. I'm taking this as an experience book based on your observations and your experience in the dating world. It's something that we've spoken about a lot on this show, on the pitfalls and the negativity that comes from this kind of experience. Please share with me what inspired you to write this book.
Sure. I was inspired kind of twofold. I wrote the outline for this book after about a year of creating the system of what I call spiritual dating and being the guinea pig for it. And after that year, I was ready, I wrote my outline, and then I put it aside, and another year and a half or so went by, and I realized, wow, this worked, because now I'm actually engaged to the man that I'm now married to, who was my soulmate. And I thought, it's definitely time to write this, because I've really lived it, and I had been, working with my coaching clients all that time, and they also were having great results. And I said, it's time to share this on a larger scale. And so that's why I wrote the book.
Being in the dating scene is these days almost comical. and you see that there are tons of pitfalls. There's all kinds of red flags that sometimes we see and ignore, and sometimes we see and act upon. Your clients and people going through this process, the people going through this dating process and looking for the spiritual connection, the soulmate, what do you think the biggest obstacle is?
I think the biggest obstacle is actually not being ready, not having prepared by sifting through our past and healing and changing our limited beliefs, or especially our unhealthy dating and relationship patterns. And, you know, we all have the kind of spiritual impatience and the emotional impatience of I want what I want and I want it now. I want my soulmate. My soul longs for it. But if we haven't gone through and become our most emotionally healthy selves, we're not going to attract somebody who is also at that level. And that's where we get into those relationships fraught with red flags. And, you know, sometimes we see them, sometimes we ignore them. So I think the main obstacle is not doing one's personal work. And once we do that, I feel soulmates are supposed to find each other. And then we're in the clear, and we're in the right alignment, and we're empowered to find that right person.
So we do this personal work. What's the process of doing that personal work? Is it calling yourself on your own bullshit? Is it also looking in the past and seeing where you allowed a certain standard in a relationship that you shouldn't have, or do you also take the time to recognize where you may have been the poison in the relationship? Is it a process of doing all of that?
It's all that and more. Yes, it's everything you mentioned. And it's also even going back for a lot of people and looking at our unmet childhood needs and how we are seeking still as adults to fill those unmet needs from an external source, oftentimes our romantic relationships, and instead going internally, filling those needs ourselves, and then moving forward in a more whole state where we can find a partner based upon compatibility instead of the unmet childhood needs and other things too from past relationships, all these kind of unconscious triggers that require our self-awareness.
So you're really in the process of mending. You're in the process of completing yourself before and readying yourself for that type of relationship you want to, so that you're really attracting and connecting to that type of relationship that so many people long for.
That's exactly right. And some of the principles of spiritual dating kind of line up with this, because I say it's a three-part process. Part one, you have to see yourself as sacred or worthy of respect and kindness and live your life from that space. When we start with that, we see all the ways in past relationships where we accepted situations that didn't honor our sacredness. So we have to kind of sift through that and get that cleared up. Then we need to see our dates as sacred, and really any potential dates as sacred. And that too requires a going back through and kind of owning up to, you know, our role in the demise of our relationships and when we didn't see our dates as sacred, when we didn't choose kindness. And looking at that and changing whatever patterns brought that forward. Then thirdly comes discernment, recognizing dates and potential romantic partners that also see us as sacred in themselves. So finding someone who's in that same space, like we're talking about, getting to that point where we work through all our past stuff and so has this potential partner so we can meet on an even playing field of emotional health.
That's very powerful, because when you talk about, and I can imagine you've been coaching for a long time and doing this, seeing yourself as sacred, that first part as a woman in our society, where the marketing from the second you're born is to tell you that you're not pretty enough, you're not this enough, you're not that, your wedding dress doesn't go off, you don't have enough money, your hair isn't this color enough, and all this stuff. That must be a challenge or a common obstacle where women often don't see that by design of a marketing structure don't see themselves as sacred.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the many places that we get that message. You know, we get the message from the media, just what you said, you're not enough, you're not pretty enough, or your only value is, you know, your looks or your figure
right.
or your physique. And I think guys get that message too. And part of seeing ourselves as sacred is that we're worthy of love, we're worthy of respect, we're worthy of kindness, we're a treasure, we're a rare, special, unique treasure just innately by who we are. And that brings in not just our physical, which is a part of it, but our hearts, our souls, our spirits. And it puts us in a place where I think we're just focusing on a more holistic kind of balanced view. And also, I'm a big proponent of fun. I'm all about fun. I'm all about positivity, being upbeat. And if we can bring that to our sacredness, that will transform our life, not just our love life, but, I mean, every part of our lives, our abundance, our careers, and our enjoyment of life. And it's huge, and it's probably the number one challenge that women that I coach have to surmount.
And that makes so much sense, because as you go through those three points of seeing yourself as sacred, seeing your dates as sacred, and finding someone who also sees that as sacred, what you're really also getting at is you're finding it, that's a prescription for emotional fitness, emotional health. And I think that you're absolutely right. I would imagine not only would your ability and capacity to attract a more suitable mate, but also your entire lifestyle changes with a shift in perspective like that.
It really does. And imagine that, I mean, even for the listeners, imagine getting in that mindset of saying, I am sacred. I'm big on affirmations. And I even suggest my clients post that I am sacred affirmation somewhere really prominent, private but prominent, next to the bed or on the bathroom mirror or something like that, and integrate that. And then think about how every choice you make, if it needs to align with that statement, that changes things for people in their lives. And then what about our thoughts? And those are those moments, like you said, when we get those media messages that we're not pretty enough, we're not, you know, thin enough, whatever. Those, even exerting mental discipline on yourself, accepting that you felt that or you thought that, but then rewriting it and saying, actually, I am sacred and I am beautiful. And, you know, being that aware of oneself transforms every choice, every thought, if you can, every moment. It's extraordinary to do it, to live it. I think it's a lifelong process, too.
Yeah, I mean, because it's you're talking about every dimension. It's like that's dimensional empowerment.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And it brings forward an empowered sense of self-love, and that empowers our heart, which is, you know, we can talk about it as our heart, which sends the blood through our body, or we can talk about it as the emotional, energetic organ that's responsible for love. And that gives that part of ourselves a chance to be empowered.
Folks, this brilliant woman you're listening to is Amy Lee Mercury. She is the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Her website is spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's spiritualgirlsguide.com. If you're listening through our website, just click on Amy's name. It'll take you right to spiritualgirlsguide.com. This book, it outlines this spiritual dater's toolkit, and you'll be able to empower your heart, live the natural law, separate karmic attraction from true connection, identify the four men to avoid, harness your own sexual energy, and know your soulmates, twin flames, and divine complements. Again, spiritualgirlsguide.com. If you want to participate in this show, you can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Amy, I would love for you to talk about the natural law and living the natural law.
Sure. natural law to me is twofold. And the first part of that is every time I work with a client, you know, a coaching client, and I'm also a medical intuitive, so every time I work with a client in that context, I always ask that everything that transpires in that session be for the highest good of all life and according to universal natural law. And that's helping all and harming none. And so if we approach our love lives from that perspective, once again, helping all, harming none, how do we do that? You know, we are, an example would be, we're on a date and we're aware that this person, you know, isn't our soulmate. We just know it's not happening for us. Sometimes people would, you know, just kind of go through the motions and then maybe not take the person's call or things like that. But instead, what if we think, all right, helping all, harming none, was the only hard and fast rule to go with that is to always choose kindness and to do things kindly. So instead we tell the person, you know, I really think you're an amazing person, et cetera, but I don't think it's going to work for us. And then we save that person all these, you know, days or hours of wondering if they were really into us. So that's just an example of the practical application of natural law in our dating lives. The second part of natural law, so it's twofold, helping all, harming none. And then the second part is whatever we put out, we receive back threefold. We receive back exponentially. So if we're just saying, I'm really going to choose to be joyful, I'm going to choose love, I'm going to choose kindness, I'm going to choose awareness and a positive view of the goodness of the universe in my life and my love life, that's what we receive back. So to apply that to our dating lives, that means that actually helps calibrate the level of involvement of the people we meet as potential dates. And that's the benefit of natural law and living within it and working with it in a positive way for our romantic lives.
And what a great way to remove the drama.
Exactly, huh?
Oh, you really are simplifying. And what I love about what you're saying is it really is taking away all the unnecessary nonsense that is injected in a dating life, that is injected in that. How do you view, a lot of times there are expectations, and you have two people who get together, and there's expectations for, of course, the other person's behavior that will always fall short. How does this spiritual guide address expectations and the frustration that comes that everyone does, that when you're trying to expect and control somebody else's behavior, almost like trying to make them fit when they simply don't?
I'm a big proponent, and in the book, I'm a big proponent of just being aware and seeing the reality of the situation instead of the potential. I know, I have a feeling men do this too. I know women do it. We meet someone and we see all these potential things that would just be so great, and we kind of turn a blind eye to the reality of the situation, you know, and right. That could be, it could be anything, you know. It could be, wow, this guy is so creative and his music is so good. He could really, you know, become a contributing member of the musical community. But the reality is he's, you know, home, quote unquote, writing songs, but he's smoking marijuana the whole time or something. You know, I mean, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that's kind of a cliche, but there's so many things like that. And to get around those expectations and just be real about it is just to say, what's the reality of the situation with the person, with the incident, whatever happens, and just deal with that, you know, be present, be in the moment, and look at the reality. And I always just say, you know, choose kindness. So if the expectations are not from you, they're from the other person, like we discussed in that previous example, then just deal with the reality and say, this is the reality of the situation in a kind way. If we have those expectations that aren't being met, which seems to be very common in relationships and dating.
Right.
You know, we always have expectations, and inadvertently, they won't get met, especially if we don't communicate them. So that's the other thing, is just being clear with your partner if you are in a relationship. Sometimes we don't realize we have expectations, then we get emotionally triggered, then we go and say, oh, I realized I had an expectation I didn't even know about. But communicate that, because when we are with the right person, even then we get triggered, and there will be expectations that are not met. There will be things that come up. And those are all, I think, they're all opportunities for us to look deeper at those issues, whether they're unmet childhood needs or different patterns or red flags that we ignored in past relationships, and now we're like, you know, getting a false red flag about them, all kinds of things. They're all opportunities to further evolve, to further become more and more emotionally aware and then emotionally mature.
It's really incredible. I've been at this for a while as well. And the idea I have that spirituality, when I first started in this industry till today, has changed so much. And when I listen to you share this brilliant outline for spiritual dating and connecting, and really it's actually beyond that, because you're really talking about spiritual and emotional health is really what's being built here. I hear more and more that with all those years that we are being told that you grow spiritual, it's actually not that way. You actually shrink spiritual. It's getting rid of stuff. It's not adding anything. It's getting rid of this nonsense, the ideas and these disempowering ideas and beliefs that we tell ourselves. It's just blatant lies that we tell ourselves. So listening to you share this guide for dating, it just reminds me of how much we get in our own way, but at the same time, how with conscious effort, we can shift this away. And not only can you attract somebody and attract somebody who will be at your standard, but at the same time, get an emotional, psychological, and spiritual health that really is a life changer.
Absolutely. And I completely agree with what you said. And I do want to tell you, Steve, too, I just love your message. I'm really a fan. I just met you, you know, at the event we both spoke at, and I checked out your info, and it's such an empowering message. I'm excited that you're sharing it, too.
Thank you so much.
And you're welcome. And it does align. I agree. And it all brings us back to, as we do drop this baggage, basically, we put down our emotional baggage through this process, it brings us back to a core truth, which is self-love is the key to not only a satisfying love life and a way to feel enthusiastic about dating, but really to a happy, healthy, empowered, enjoyable life in every arena. Self-love is the key, and we have to put those emotional issues and spiritual issues, and we have to sift through everything and put that all down and keep coming back to self-love, because that's the key.
Powerful, powerful stuff, folks. This brilliant woman you're listening to is Amy Lee Mercury. She is the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Website is spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's spiritualgirlsguide.com. I'm going to take a little break. We got a couple of minutes. Need to grab a drink. And I'm going to start looking through this feedback. Some great questions coming in. I promise that I'll get to at least a couple of them, having a great conversation with Amy. Hey, listen, while we're on break, check out spiritualgirlsguide.com. If you're listening to our website, just click on Amy's name. It opens up a new window, so it doesn't affect the show at all. So you could actually browse through this website while you listen to this brilliant woman speak. We're going to take a quick break. What do you guys want for break? You want a little Rocky Balboa speech? We'll do a Rocky Balboa speech during the break. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Don't move.
You ain't gonna believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up to say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you every day. It was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Nossa, nossa, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, ai. Delícia, delícia, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, hein? Na balada, a galera começou a dançar e passou a menina mais linda. Tomei coragem e comecei a falar. Como é que é, vai? Nossa, nossa, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego. Delícia, delícia, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, seba.
Hey, 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 welcome back, welcome back. I had that song stuck in my head forever, and now it's all of your turn. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com and bettertoday.com. Every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. What else we got? We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest. We're all over the place. Remember, the whole purpose of what we do is to make sure the arms of empowerment can reach out and embrace everybody 100% free. I don't even want your email address. The only thing I want you to do, the only thing that I ask is that you share this information. Some people give their time. Amy, for instance, Amy Mercury is giving an hour of her day to share these insights with you. Let people know about Amy's work. Let people know about her book. Let people know what she's doing when she's doing a seminar. We need to support people who are out there empowering others. There's some incredible information out there that that really isn't getting out as widely distributed as I'd like it to be. So we created the show and everything that we do based on fixing that. So we need your help. Do you know that over 500,000 people average listening to each of our shows? We have never advertised this show. That is all you, all word of mouth. So thank you so much, and don't ever stop. Let's share. Let's remember that we're all on the same team and in this together. Let's help each other share empowering information. So when you're clicking and forwarding the YouTube video of a cat, I don't know, playing the piano, add into a different email, add a link to spiritualgirlsguide.com, or add a link to empoweredlivingradio.com, add a link to the Amazon address for Amy's book, The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating. My point is, let's share, let's participate in each other's lives, not only in our own empowerment, but in the empowerment of others. So thank you all so much again. Every single show we've ever done, over 1,000 hours of radio and killer seminars, available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. We are having a great conversation with Amy Lee Mercury. She is the expert spiritual dating and relationship coach. She's the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Her website is spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's spiritualgirlsguide.com. So, Amy, before we went to break, we were talking about natural law. I do want to talk a little bit about, I'm intrigued by this separation, and first of all, description, but separation of this karmic attraction from true connection. I would love to hear more about that.
Sure. That's a very rich and complex subject. And, as a coach for so many years, I've seen so many permutations of it. And I'll give you an example, and it'll be, I don't know, generic. It's not any one particular story. It's kind of a mix of several people's stories. So let's say we have a woman who is dating somebody and there's issues in the relationship that amount to disrespectful behavior towards that woman. Right. And then this part is a real story from a real client. They break up, and then later the woman finds out that the man was also cheating on her, and she's really shocked and surprised. But yet not totally, because of these disrespectful behaviors are happening throughout the relationship. Now we get into the karmic part, which so many people have so many varied views around past lives. So you can view this next part of the story as literal, a real past life, or you could also view it as allegorical. So it's metaphorical, and it has to do with the collective unconscious and all of humanity's collaborative experiences with these types of things playing out in this woman's life. She could see it one of two ways. So she has this guy. We'll give him names. We'll call her Lydia, and we'll call him Bill. Those are off the top of my head. Lydia and Bill. Bill's a little bit disrespectful throughout the relationship, but enough that she stays with him for a while. Eventually they split. She finds out he's cheating. Then she comes in to see me and discovers that a story comes up of a past life where she was a male, a pharaoh-like kind of a being in a Egyptian-like society. So it could be Egyptian, it could be something else. And she was married to the soul that was Bill, now incarnated as a man and him as the queen or his wife. But as the pharaoh of that particular area, it was part of the duty to go out into the country and sow the royal seed. So for that guy to go out and have sex with lots of people and the women in the kingdom and sow the royal seed and create more of a more strong genetic line.
Right.
So, that goes through. They really love each other. That happens. That life is over. Their souls move on and go on to do all kinds of other stuff. And then they come back together in this life, and this whole thing plays out. Where this guy incarnates, he's a little disrespectful. He's got issues in the beginning of the relationship. And it turns out he's cheated. And when that happens, and the split happens and all of those things happen, of course, it's very emotionally difficult for both of them and everything. But eventually that karma neutralizes and it clears that out for her, and it makes more space for her to go forward and not, ideally, not play out more incidences of karmic attraction. However, the big caveat, and for all the listeners listening who are thinking, oh, I don't want to do that, is that's the least efficient way to deal with, neutralize, and work through our relationship karma. Instead, we can do a very simple process to do that. It's in my book, and it's a little bit too lengthy, I think, for us to go through in our time together today. But we can go through and do this process, kind of, you know, set intentions and work with the energy of our bodies and our soul selves to neutralize that relationship karma. So next time, and in that case of this woman that we called Lydia, who was a real client most of that story, she did that, and then she went on to have a more healthy relationship because she neutralized that karma consciously as well. So that hopefully that explains karmic attraction. And basically, the essence of that is that those two people got together because there was this karmic fuel between them. They magnetized each other to work something out that was left unfinished in the past. But instead, they could work with that consciously and not attract those kinds of relationships, do it another way, and then make space for true connection in their love lives because the karmic attractions already worked through.
That's deep, Amy.
It's deep, and to some people it's very out there, but so common in my practice. It's incredible, the stories that come up for people and for people who never were into past lives or anything.
Well, I could see how even framing it that way could actually lead to a better understanding of why someone may be picking the same type of guy over and over again and getting that same result.
Exactly. And that's that particular chapter in the book, the real main idea is that karmic fuel for relationships is such an inefficient way for us to work through that karma. If we did that as souls, if we needed to work through all of it, we would just be doing that for lifetimes and lifetimes. But instead, we can just do that consciously. And even thinking of it as just kind of an allegorical thing, more of a Jungian collective unconscious thing, if we need to work through that kind of essence of infidelity and what it means to people in relationships, if we can do it consciously, then we don't have to go through and experience it for years or multiple times till we work it through.
Great stuff, folks. Your feedback is welcome. I'm sorry I didn't get to any of it yet. I'm so interested in what Amy has to say. I'm kind of ignoring all of you. Sorry. I'm gonna get to some of it right now. We're gonna go with Nancy. Nancy is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and she writes, "Hey, Steve, another great show. Thank you always for having empowered women on your show. I heard something about men you shouldn't be with. Please tell Amy I would like to add my ex-husband to the list. But on a serious note, could you please ask her how we changed our story or get out of our own way after having a nasty divorce? Is it possible to be open to the idea that there are good men out there, even though we've been wrong so many times? And please thank her in advance."
Oh, it's a great question from Nancy. I do think it is possible. And one of the things that's so crucial is to give yourself lots of time. Give yourself loads of time. Don't rush into anything. You've had a marriage and then a divorce, and it's a lot to recover from emotionally. So just take your time and really integrate the principle that you are sacred. Post that I am sacred affirmation, say it, post it in your home, and then work on looking at your life and each decision you make, how does it support and align with your sacredness? Do that. That's the best way to practice. And then, after giving yourself that time, just begin to open your heart in even safe and manageable ways with friends, with, if you have children, with the unconditional love of especially smaller children. Teenagers might not always provide that, but nieces and nephews, pets, feel the love energy, feel the way it feels in your body when you hug your pet or a friend's or a family member's pet, and you feel that unconditional love. Especially think of like a golden retriever who's just loving, 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 loving. You know, do that in a safe way and really be present and mindful. What is this love that's being shared that's unconditional feel like? Source that. That's the feeling you want to feel in conjunction with living your sacredness. Those are your two cues to move forward if you are dating. And that's what you're looking for when you're dating. And if you really say, I'm sacred and I'm going to live that way, it's going to give you permission to trust yourself, because you'll know if you're really living your sacredness, you're not going to date guys who are going to treat you poorly. You know, you're going to make choices where you're supported, and how wonderful and beautiful and sacred you are supported. And then you can learn to trust yourself again. And then you can learn to trust your judgment after a nasty divorce, which is probably a challenge. So those are that's my advice to Nancy.
That's great advice and delivered. And you know what I love about Amy's book? She delivers these messages, some very profound, and she delivers it with such a graceful elegance. And Nancy, did you hear what she said? You know, I have to translate some of this into Steve-ism for those of you who get where I deliver it a little differently. And I'm speaking in the grace and elegance that Amy just delivered like a composer. But Nancy, what she just said that really stuck out at me was, don't get caught up in what you don't want. And that all of us, we become masters of knowing what we don't want. Well, I don't want this, and the last person was this, and we forget to take a second to understand what in the hell you do want. What do you want? What are you looking for? Okay, we get it. We get what you're not looking for. But what are you looking for? Where do you see yourself? What does nourish you? You're an expert at what poisons your soul. But what nourishes your soul? What breathes life into your passion, your sexual passion, your vitality for life? What breathes life into that? And when you have that list and you have that clarity, go seek that and accept nothing else. Very powerful stuff, Amy. I love that you said that. I'm going to keep going with some more feedback. And again, folks, this brilliant woman you're listening to is Amy Lee Mercury. She is the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Her website is spiritualgirlsguide.com. It's spiritualgirlsguide.com. Let's go with Gregory. Gregory is in Toronto, Canada, and he writes, Steve, excellent guest today. I wanted to ask Amy, there are numerous, I'm sure she's aware, numerous schools of thought on soulmates. Some people believe we have many throughout our lives. Some people believe we only have one. I was wondering which school of thought she pertains to, and please give her a big hug from Toronto.
Great. That's a great question, too. I'm aware of all the schools of thought, and I have my own little brand of it as well. So here it is. I've got, in my vernacular, we have soulmates, twin flames, divine complements. Soulmates, to me, are members of our soul family. And so that includes close friends, certain family members that we really resonate with. These are souls who we've been with again and again in all different contexts, not just as our current human selves. Twin flames are people who I believe have, and to keep it relatively simple, I explain it in kind of a longer way in my book, because as my years as a medical intuitive, I see my own version of kind of the anatomy of our energy bodies and our spirit. So twin flames, in simple terms, are two people who have flames or essences of their soul selves that are aligned completely and also mirrored in each other. So it's a deeper spiritual connection, even beyond what a soulmate relationship would be. And it's got more elements of the spiritual a lot of times twin flames have some karmic connection, and there can be the karmic attraction we talked about earlier that is destructive to our love lives, and we would rather do it in a more conscious way instead of living it out. But there's also positive karmic energy as far as souls who've been together in other lives in different ways, especially as successful romantic partners. So that's a portion of the twin flame vernacular to me. And then divine complement take it to the next level, and they have twin flame elements, but also they have that deep essence of being home and that a level of compatibility where you hear about certain couples, you know, they can kind of read each other's minds and they're just perfectly compatible in many ways. They complete one another's thoughts. There's all kinds of energetic components to it as well, and that's from the medical intuitive angle. And so when divine complements come together on planet Earth and the energy or the power that surrounds them combines, like they're sort of like we would say their auras touch and they're near each other, it exponentializes the vibratory power of what they're putting out. So if one's tuned to love and one's tuned to joy, they bring it together and it goes from, let's say, 20 feet around them, if we could quantify it, to 200 feet around them. And it's resonating out through the earth and sharing that energy. That's a very esoteric way to put it, but that's my take on it. And all of those relationships, whether they're soulmate, twin flame, or divine complement relationships, are excellent, perfect, and wonderful for romantic relationships. No one is better than the other as far as finding your partner for this life. Just depends what your soul has set up for you to potentially experience in this life, and each one is excellent. On the other hand, too, we have soulmate relationships that we may even have in our past that didn't work out for whatever reason. So we have lots of soulmates, a few twin flames, and a few divine complements, and there are an endless number of partners that would be perfect for us available on Earth. And that's a good thing to hear, because if we're looking for one, we want it to not be like there's just one and they're off on the other side of the world in Australia or something. So there's lots of partners available. And just to say, too, if that divine complement was on the other side of the world in Australia, those two souls would actually magnetize each other. And that goes for soulmates and twin flames. They'll magnetize each other, come together through potentially synchronistic events. And when the timing is right, those people end up together. So I hope that answered the question, Steve.
I think that you did. You know, and oftentimes you think that if you connect with a soulmate, you connect with somebody that says, you know, this twin flame, that it's suddenly like everything just birds from now on only chirp and anything's always wonderful. But in fact, you're still working at a very human relationship, right?
Absolutely. I'm married to mine and, you know, we have a lot of the birds chirping and all that stuff. I'm very, very lucky in my marriage, but we're still humans. We still have, yeah. You know, I still leave a pile of clothes on the floor and he goes, can this please not be in the middle of the floor? You know, that type of stuff. We still have this kind of thing. I think everybody does. And it's how we deal with those, you know, the kindness and the love and the caring that just gets us through those little learning moments.
We're going to keep going with some more feedback. We're speaking with Amy Lee Mercury. She is the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Her website is spiritualgirlsguide.com and spiritualgirlsguide.com. Let's go with Rhonda. Rhonda is in Henderson, Nevada, and Rhonda writes, hey, Steve, happy summer. I heard her mention earlier something about sexual energy. As we round into our 60-something, I'm wondering how we maintain our sexual energy. As you both mentioned earlier, marketing doesn't seem to push us that way. I would love to hear her advice, and please thank you from NB.
That's also a great question. And marketing certainly doesn't generally inform us that it's possible, but as a coach, so many women in their 60s and even 70s have been clients over the years, and they either have maintained that sexual energy or they've come back into it. And I think it comes back to feeling that sacredness, and especially bringing that into the reproductive organs, bringing that into the womb area, and bringing the love to that and the self-acceptance, and noticing that for women at least, our creativity comes from our womb, our second chakra, and our reproductive organs. And, you know, obviously one of the things we can create is new life, which is pretty amazing. But even when we choose not to, or we're not at that stage of our lives anymore, we have this unbelievable creative generator in the core of our being 24/7. I picture it like a galaxy, and it kind of spins and orbits. It's a spiral galaxy, and at its center is a portal. And from that portal, the divine feminine and really anything and everything from the universe can spring forward. And that's where we bring through whatever we're creating as women. And so I think for this listener, tapping into that would be a way to just really feel that again. And so some action steps or some concrete ways you could do that and feel that creative energy in the womb area and then let that move, you know, forth into sexual energy is whatever is creative and fun for you. So painting, maybe like with, you know, bright colors on large canvases or papers, and you know, really letting the color and the expression be explosive, dancing that way, feeling the divine feminine flow through you from that portal that's contained in your womb, and letting it infuse your body and then expressing it, singing, dancing, painting, creating art, making collages, sculpture, writing, composing poetry, anything and everything that expresses it. Let that energy move through you and then let that evolve into a sensual and then a sexual energy as well.
I love it. And Rhonda, it doesn't matter, Rhonda, if you're 20, 40, 60, 80, or 100, embrace your sexy ass self. Don't look for society to give you permission to be yourself. Rhonda, be unapologetically you. If you're feeling it, you want to feel it, then embrace your sexy ass self and express it. This is your life. This is your life, Rhonda. Don't look for others to give you permission to be you. Be unapologetically you. That's what you were created for, to express your badass self, Rhonda. Just go ahead and do it. And thank you so much for the feedback. Let's keep going. Some great questions here. I can't believe how fast this conversation is going. We only got a few minutes left with Amy. Let's go with Marissa. Marissa is in Maine, and Marissa writes, excellent show today. I really love the way that she goes deep into the analysis of relationships. I'm wondering if this is something that we are capable of explaining to the youth of today. Sometimes I want to grab my daughter and her friends and just shake them for the nonsense they put up with. I've even had them listen to a couple of your relationship shows, Steve, but it doesn't seem to get through. Does she have any advice of how to get through this message through to young teens before it's too late? Thank you so much.
Great question. And Rhonda's touching on part of what I feel is part of my personal mission is how to do that. And I'll say this too, wouldn't it have been great for us to have that idea that we're sacred when we were teens? I'm sure a lot of us are just thinking, boy, how that would have helped me. So it's a great question. And I think probably the number one way is to be an example. because as much as children, whether they're your children or nieces, nephews, whomever, as much as children and teens like to, you know, assert their independence and be rebellious, and that's part of that stage of becoming their own person, the example that you set is powerful. And I've noticed, I was a teacher for 8 years before I went into this whole business, and I noticed with kids from, you know, kindergarten through high school, because I taught every age in that time period, that for women and women who were girls and for girls, our mothers are our maternal role model. They're our model of how to be a woman. So if we have a mother who models for us living her sacredness and even talks about that either directly and indirectly and really exemplifies that, that's the best way we can teach that to teens. Preachy stuff doesn't seem to work with that generation, and it's more showing results, showing happy people, showing why this works. So that's my advice to Rhonda, is to live that, and also to have some honest conversations with her daughter and with her, maybe even her daughter and her daughter's friends, about these concepts. Maybe providing them with a book like mine or something like it, you know, would give another perspective of not just one's mother is suggesting this, but, you know, this is out there and people do this. People think they're sacred. People love themselves, and people don't, not everybody has to choose to be disrespected by guys to feel validated that they're attractive and worthy.
And that's the thing. And I think that a lot of your message and a lot of what I've heard today, which I don't want to miss out on since we've only got a couple minutes, was really that the base, you're really setting the standard for any relationship, and the base has to be self-love. When you respect yourself, it's and love yourself and treat yourself all right, that's when you set up that standard for the relationships you'll have on the outside.
It is. That's the standard exactly, self-love. And I remember being a teen, you know, vividly how hard that was. And it's funny Rhonda asked that, because I just found a home movie of my best friend and I where we were at the, you know, the most kind of awkward, difficult age of teen life. And it brought that back for me. It reminded me how challenging that is to love yourself when you think, oh, you know, my skin doesn't look good, my braces don't look good, my hair doesn't look good, I'm not thin enough. All these messages we get, we just have to model that, and we have to give girls the message consistently, say to them, you are beautiful just as you are. You're perfect. You know, you're sacred. You're whatever it is that will communicate to them that they're worthy as they are. Such a crucial thing to do for young women.
I love it, folks. This brilliant woman who you're just listening to is Amy Lee Mercury. She is the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Her website is spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's spiritualgirlsguide.com. Amy, it's been a pleasure and honor. It went super fast, but thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insight and wisdom with our listeners.
It was my pleasure, Steve. I really enjoyed talking to you and hearing from your listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, folks, make sure that you check out spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's spiritualgirlsguide.com. Ah, that's awesome. You know what's great is hearing somebody like that. And here you have Amy who lives this. And she's not an expert at being an expert. She lives this and applies this to her life. And now imagine you were to do the same. What I love about this is we're able to hear somebody and hear somebody express it with she's got a, you can tell the way she delivers her sentences that
She has a deep understanding of spiritual practices, something that she not only understands as a concept, but just clearly she lives this. And at the same time delivers it in a way that we can all understand. But the beauty of this, and I don't want this to be lost at all, the beauty of this is the things that you enjoyed about what Amy said. You don't just have to applaud her for sharing this and for understanding this and for coming to these conclusions in her life. Instead, you can be so inspired by it that you can apply this to your life. Now, what happens if you listen to what Amy said and check out her book, The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating. So you listen to what she said. You read her book and you say, oh, this Amy, she's fantastic. She's brilliant. I'm so glad Steve had her on the show. But what if you take it a step further than that and you start applying what she's talking about? What if you come to realize that you are perfectly imperfect, that you are complete? Maybe you're not finished, but you are complete, that you have everything you need to fulfill your purpose, that you are enough, that you are worthy. What if you start coming to this conclusion? Now, I want you to know that the reason it's so difficult for you to come to this conclusion is because when you come to this conclusion, a huge part of an industry starts dying. You know, this industry has been convincing you for years. You know, they have to convince you you're drowning in order for them to sell you a life vest, right? So for years they've been convincing you that you weren't pretty enough, that you're kind of awkward, that your shoes aren't good enough, that you're just, and they've been convincing you for years. What if you listen to what Amy says, you listen to what she writes, and you realize that maybe anyone who has ever told you you're not enough was completely full of shit? What if you start realizing that you are created, regardless of what you call a creator, you are created with such a majesty. You are created, you weren't created broken. You weren't created and then suddenly something you need is on the outside. You were created with something powerful inside. And the only time you have this stress and this drama and these nightmare relationships are the times that you are diluting yourself. You are telling yourself a different story other than I am worthy. I am good enough. You are convinced because some idiot told you you'll never find somebody like me. Hey, side note, folks, if anyone ever tells you you'll never find anyone like me, say thank you. That's a good thing. What if you realize this? What if you realize that you are perfectly imperfect and that you are worthy? And you love yourself enough to set a relationship standard that makes those birds chirp, that make you feel that passion, that you love yourself enough and you're committed to yourself enough and you respect yourself enough and you cherish yourself enough and you keep your promises to yourself enough. What happens when you develop all of that and then you demand the same standard for anyone else that comes into your life? I'll tell you what happens. You end up sounding brilliant and living a wonderful life like our guest Amy just shared with us. Folks, again, we just had a great conversation with Amy Lee Mercury. She is the author of The Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmates. Make sure you check out her website, spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's spiritualgirlsguide.com. That's it for us today, folks. I don't want to talk too much. I want you guys to go out there and participate. Think about what you heard today. And don't forget to share. Remember, we're all on the same team. And in this together, no matter what you're doing, no matter when you're doing it, remember that there's a guy in Port Washington, New York, who loves you and is cheering you on. Get out there and make a difference. Check out our websites, empoweredlivingradio.com, stevemaraboli.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube, we're on Pinterest. We're out there. Now you get out there and live it. Live it, live it. Remember, great relationships, success, happiness, none of these things are something you have. They are something you experience when you live accordingly. They are not something you have. They are something you do. Go out there and do it. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.